And welcome into the Friday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast, the weekend edition, if you will. Packers football returns, and the Badgers are only 1 week away from their return to the gridiron as well. Coming up, we'll have another conversation with our buddy Thunder himself, Mitch Nellis, and we'll get into, among other things, our respective studio setups, also what sports we're watching and not watching right now, and what else is good that we may have missed, as many of us have more time on our hands than perhaps we had originally thought. We start with the return of the Packers after their bye week, the green and gold traveling to Florida to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. Now, these two teams played last in 2017, the Packers winning in overtime 26-20. Green Bay now on a three-game winning streak in the series. But the big story and the national narrative, however, is under center. This will mark the third time that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady have faced off as starting quarterbacks. The first meeting taking place in 2014 in Green Bay. That's when Rodgers and the Packers defeated the Brady-led Patriots 26-21. As for Aaron, he completed 24 of 38 passes for 368 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 112.6. While Brady finished with a quarterback rating of 102.5 after completing 22 of 35 passes for 245 yards, two touchdowns, and no picks, just like Aaron. Now, the last time these two teams got together, it's a different story. Brady and New England got the best of Rodgers and the Packers. That was in Foxborough in 2018. The final score, 31-17. Brady throwing for a passer rating of 99 flat, 294 yards on 22 of 35 passing with one touchdown, no picks. Rodgers, a quarterback rating of just 89.2. Somewhat pedestrian, I suppose. It's not terrible, but nevertheless, he was 24 of 43, 259 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. Now, the Packers, they're coming off their bye week. Traditionally, they've been strong after the week off, winning 16 of the 24 games they've played in the bye week era. Also, the Packers are on a 9-game regular season winning streak. That's the longest current streak in the NFC. It's also Green Bay's longest winning streak since 2010-2011. So that spanned over two seasons, 15 games. Now, you remember where the Packers were 10 years ago. That was the year that they won the Super Bowl and then went 15-1 in the regular season as a follow-up. So this 9-gamer is tied for the fifth longest regular season winning streak in franchise history. Still, not bad. You'll take it. Since 2009, Green Bay 60-40-1 overall after the bye. They were 5-1 after the bye last season. As I said at the outset, however, this one is going to be dominated by the story of the two guys that will be playing with their gold jackets already having been ordered from Canton's finest tailor. The busts have already been carved. It's Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady. 12 versus 12.
He does things that I'm not sure that every young quarterback realizes, but they probably should. What Tom does is he's always trying to work on something new. If you look at his gun footwork over the years, he's done just about everything, you know, from right foot forward to left foot forward. Him and I had a conversation about that a number of years ago. Now he's square stance. You know, he's always fiddling with things to try and get that little advantage.
So the Mutual Admiration Society certainly is in full effect in Green Bay and in Tampa. And again, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, we've been here before, but despite the quarterback hype,
I think fans should enjoy what they get to watch, because there are some guys who, you know, people have been able to watch for 15 plus, 20 plus years at the position who are some of the best to ever play it. And I think it's good that we just enjoy it for what it is, have respect and admiration for the way that we have played over this time, and enjoy where we're at in our careers now.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Now, as for Rodgers' coach, Matt LaFleur, he was in high school in upstate Michigan when Brady was a Michigan Wolverines quarterback.
I think my senior year of high school is when University of Michigan won the national championship. So you kind of always followed them. But once you get into college and you kind of more worried about what you're doing than other teams. But certainly he's a guy that I definitely watched as I was in college and, you know, throughout the course of his time in the NFL. And he's a lot of fun to watch.
As for facing the player, Brady, that most consider to be the best quarterback of all time this week.
Every time that you go against a guy of that caliber, you're always expecting him to be at his best. And, you know, we've got no reason to think otherwise. I think he's always answered the bell, and he's put a lot of great stuff out there this year too. And it's a new system for him too. So it's pretty impressive anytime you see a guy transition so quickly and get comfortable in a new system.
Not only will LaFleur's team be facing Brady, but also the Tampa heat and humidity expected to be in the high 80s on Sunday.
You just got to make sure that you stress the hydration. That's the biggest key, especially when it's colder here. You just don't feel like drinking water all the time or taking in the fluids. So we've been stressing it and just making sure that our guys are adhering to that, because we need everybody for what we know is going to be a long four-quarter battle.
So, of course, there's Brady to contend with. Obviously, now the Heat to contend with as well. Maybe most importantly, though, the NFL's top-ranked rush defense in Tampa Bay that the Packers will have to contend with. So that brings up the question of, do you keep running it?
We know they're a great defense. Obviously, the numbers speak to it. And then it's backed up by what you see on tape. But I think that's just a total feel thing. Obviously, I think we are at our best when we're able to do both, like most offenses are. But it's going to be totally predicated on what is being presented to us from a defensive standpoint.
The Packers, by the way, 10th in the NFL in rushing yards and 4th in yards per carry. So they have been running the ball very effectively. The Packers, obviously, off to a 4-0 start. But what's been remarkable for me is that it's been a different guy each week. Now, with all apologies to the defense, and they've had some games that have been more effective than others, but offensively, it's been the first 2 weeks, it was the usual suspects. It was week one, Davante Adams with the career game. In week two, it was Aaron Jones with the career game. But in week three, who was the guy that stepped up? It was Alan Lazard. And right before the bye week, with Lazard injured, who stepped up, by the way, when Davante Adams was injured, in week four, it was Robert Tonyan. So it's been a different guy that has been the player of the game, if you will, every single week, along with the steady hand under center and number 12, Aaron Rodgers. It seems random and sporadic. In reality, it's just part of the plan.
You know, it's not always easy to buy into that, but I think that's a credit to the character of our locker room. And we've got a bunch of great guys that are selfless, that are putting the team first. And, you know, I think that, again, I think it's just a credit to the people that we have in this building.
Packers coach Matt LaFleur, who through 20 regular season games is now 17-3. That's tied for second in NFL history for the most wins by a head coach through their first 20 regular season games. The only coach that had more was George Seifert. He was coming off the Bill Walsh era, an incredible era for San Francisco 49ers football, 1989 and 1990. George Seifert went 18-2 through his first 20 games. Matt LaFleur is now tied with a couple of Hall of Famers, Guy Chamberlain and Paul Brown. They were 17-3, also Dick Rauch from 1925 to 1926. So really a couple of early eras in NFL football with coaches that went 17-3. But Matt LaFleur is right in that group as well. He's also the first Packers coach to start both of his first two seasons 3-0. So really a remarkable, moment in history that we're witnessing right now in Green Bay with Matt LaFleur. All right, moving on to the defense, where we haven't been hearing quite as much this season about the Smith brothers, at least one of them. Preston Smith only has half a sack at the quarter pole of the season, but that's because he's disrupting in other areas.
You know, this is part of the plan right now. You know, there's going to be some games I'm going to have to drop back a lot more than I'm used to, a lot more in the past. But, you know, I believe in the plan, you know, that's in. I believe in the system. It's going to all pay out because we're going to have a lot more games where I rush a lot more and I drop less. And, you know, it's only four games. We're going to play four games this season. It's a long season ahead. It's a lot of rushing ahead, and it's a lot of big plays to be made ahead.
As for when Smith might get after the passer again?
I'm just a believer in the plan. I'm a team guy. You know, I put the team first, and I know, you know, my moment's going to come. It's a long season. And, I, you know, like I said, I'm a believer in the plan, and I'm a believer in the system. And I know it worked well for me last year, and there was a lot of things that I was doing last year well. And this year, I still had an opportunity to do those things well. But I know they're going to come, and it's a long season, and, you know, sacks come in bunches.
Sacks do come in bunches, no question about that. We talked about the Heat, though, a minute ago. Some guys, it's, of course, going to affect differently than others. But when you think about it, there are a lot of players on the Packers that are from the South and are used to it. Preston Smith is one of those guys. He grew up in Georgia, played college ball at Mississippi State, so this is old hat for him.
You just got to be ready for that. You got to hydrate, and you got to make sure that, you know, you take care of your body the right way. So when you get out there in the game, that, you know, it produces the right way. We know it's going to be hot. It's going to be a different temperature. It's going to be a real, you know, spike in the temperature going up from what we're used to. But we know that's the challenges we face. You know, going on a road, you got to go play in a hostile environment, whether that be a temperature or, you know, fans.
Packers linebacker Preston Smith. As for the television broadcast, fans didn't necessarily seem to care for the Chris Myers-Greg Jennings duo that the Packers saw the first couple of weeks of the season. This week, the A-team, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews. And I know, look, I get it. Packers fan, I don't know what Packers fans necessarily want from the television broadcasters. Maybe you guys can tell me. Hit me up on Twitter, at Doug Russell Pod. You can find me on Twitter, just very simply, at Doug Russell, or you can email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. From your television broadcasters, what exactly do you want? Because the A-team, Buck and Aikman, they've been doing this for like 20 years or so as the number one team on Fox, and it's no secret that every home team, it's not just Packers fans, but every home team seems to think that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman hate their team. If you want to hear the hometown call, I would absolutely invite you to listen to Wayne Larrivee and Larry McCarron on the radio. If you want the hometown call, they will give that to you. But if you're watching television, Buck and Aikman, I'll take it. Because if you think of it this way, the analyst's job, Troy Aikman, in this case, the analyst's job isn't to fawn all over your team. It's to call it as he or she sees it. And in this case, Troy Aikman sometimes has some critical things to say. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And Joe Buck is Joe Buck. He's been the number one broadcaster for both baseball and football on Fox, again, for more than 20 years, and he's going into the Hall of Fame this year. So that's who you're getting on Sunday. You're getting the A-team, Buck Aikman and Aaron Andrews. They will be on the call for Fox, just as an FYI. It's a 3:25 kickoff. Taking a look at the next four games after Sunday's, the Packers on October 25th will travel down to Houston to take on the Texans. Back home on November 1st, they will play host to the Vikings, then traveling back out west to take on San Francisco in a rematch of the two, I guess for the wrong reasons, most memorable games for the Packers last year, both in the NFC Championship game as well as in the regular season. They just got drubbed twice at San Francisco, so they have to head right back out to Levi's Stadium this season. That will be Thursday Night Football, November 5th, and then kind of the mini bye in there. They will get 10 days off before they come back home to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So again, after Tampa Bay, at Houston, at home against Minnesota, at San Francisco, and then on November 15th, they will be at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Doug Russell, Mitch Nellis. It's a little bit of thunder here on at least the Doug Russell podcast. And Mitch, you're going to be pushing this out onto your social media channels as well. Where can folks find you and what you're doing right now? That's fair. You can find the Doug Russell podcast, of course, wherever you find podcasts. Just search for the Doug Russell podcast on the socials. We're now on Instagram and on Twitter at Doug Russell Pod. And you can always email us at, DougRussellPod@gmail.com and search us on Facebook at the Doug Russell podcast. So it's been a couple of weeks since you and I had a Friday chat. So I thought that, you know, why not? Let's circle back around because it was so much fun the last time. And I enjoy these conversations because they could really go in a million different directions. And we've done our Packers preview. And so we've taken care of the business side, I guess, of my podcast anyway. So now it's time to have a little fun. Absolutely. Have a little fun with my buddy Thunder. So before we started, we were talking, or at least you were describing your setup. So if you're watching this on video, and I'll share it to my Facebook page, and obviously you can, maybe you're watching it right now on Thunder's as well. You see basically office space behind me, but what do you have in front of you? Oh, nice. Okay.
And I love, you know, I was mentioning to you before we started, I love the setup looking out in front of me.
Like a halo effect almost. My audio setup or my studio setup, if you will, is 1,000% different from yours. Even though the background looks the same, if I look up from the camera, and I wish I could turn my camera around, but my laptop is literally plugged into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different things, so it would just it would wreak havoc on the actual production here. But you're not really looking at anything. I mean, I've got a window over here that I can look into my neighbor's backyard and my backyard for that matter, if I'd like to. But the rest of it is just acoustic foam. When I'm looking, it's just acoustic foam. And then there's a fill light over here. One of those ring lights that if I turn it off, you know, you get the shadow. So then you can turn that back on. Behind my head.
Oh, nice.
You're from Boston. Yeah, we just went through Amazon Prime Day. That was a perfect opportunity to go out and, you know, find a couple of things. Yeah, I do have. Yeah, it works pretty well. And, you know, I do. If this wasn't on my podcast, if this was just something that was purely video, I don't know that I would use the radio microphone for it. I did. It was really cheap. I got a good deal on Amazon Prime Day, so that's why it was fresh in my mind. I do have like lavalier microphones that they use for television applications. So I got a couple of those, and those are also good for interviews where, you know, when you interview someone and they're not used to talking, you know, because radio broadcasters, I mean, you know it as well as anyone, you know, you get right up on it. And when you try to tell, and it's just so ingrained in us that that's just what we do. When you try to ask an interview subject to get right up on the mic, they just keep moving further and further and further and further away. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I went out and did that. But that's my setup. It's literally acoustic foam along with, you know, maybe for the next one of these, I don't know, in a couple of weeks. I mean, I'll give you a full tour. I'll unplug it and give you the full tour, because there's just a lot of just nonsense and crap behind me, but it's my crap and I like it. Wade, do you know how long I've known Wade Bates? It seems like it, because I remember when he was a freshman in college, he walked into my office. I was the station manager at UW Oshkosh's WRST radio, and he walked into my office and inquired about, I want to do sports on the radio. So I have literally known Wade Bates longer than probably anyone else in this industry.
Yes, yeah, so you should, we should have a couple of
Oh, how fun is that? Where have you gone? It's Armin. He's such a Armin's such a good dude. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago we did Devil's Lake, and you can't do Devil's Lake in the summertime on a weekend because number one, you can't. Yeah, it's too packed. So we went on a Tuesday. My wife took the day off, and we went on a Tuesday, and it was still I mean, there were still people there, but it wasn't packed, and it was right when the colors, the fall colors right now are at its peak, like at Holy Hill. I was up there yesterday taking pictures. And just, I mean, absolutely incredible. But when we went up to Devil's Lake, I hadn't been there since I was a kid. And one of the things that I didn't realize is how hard some of those hikes at Devil's Lake are. I mean, you're walking up the face of a cliff practically, and which is kind of awesome, but burns the quads when you get home. And it was about a 2-hour drive from our house to Devil's Lake, and on the drive home, after, you know, pulled into the garage, tried to get out of my car, and I'm like, I can't move. I can't move. Yeah. Nice. I think the next time that my wife goes camping will be the first time she ever goes camping. And I did that when I was a kid, and I shouldn't say I've never slept in a tent. I think I have slept in a tent, but probably less than 10 times. But when I was a kid, and here's how I've seen the entire country, my dad worked for the Forest Service. So we had a camper, a travel trailer that we would drag behind us and would take every corner of the country, because, you know, my dad would go to, you know, upstate New York, for example, because there's national forests in New York State, and he would have to go up there for work, and he would take, and you don't realize it at the time, you don't appreciate it at the time, but he would drag the whole family along, and, you know, it was awesome. And, you know, I still have 5 states that I have to check off the list, and, you know, we'll get all 50. So, but I attribute a lot of that to, you know, camping with my family when I was a kid. Really? Okay. Interesting.
Thank you.
Wild. Wild. What are you watching right now? Are you watching any of the playoffs that are going on? Okay. Okay. They're in the driver's seat. Right. Yes. Yeah, that was the year that the Brewers lost to the Phillies in the NLDS. Well, sure. I mean, Evan Longoria was, you know, coming into his own at that time. Sure. Yep. What's good on Netflix? I think I've run out of Netflix. I think I'm going to get to the screen on Netflix where it says you have now exhausted everything that we have to offer. Okay. Leather, Kenny? Letter. Oh. Love Kristen Bell. Tried to get into it. I abandoned it after about four episodes, but I mean, should probably get back to it just because. That's what they say about Schitt's Creek, too. Okay. So it's The Office on steroids. Okay. Okay. Again, that was another four episodes, and but then again, it's one of those that everything that I've read about it since, if you can get through the first few episodes, which are a little weird. Again, same thing. Same, you know, first two episodes. Okay. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Okay. So it's the opposite of House of Cards then. Because House of Cards started out, the first season of House of Cards was the best. And then every season to the last season, which was completely unwatchable. Okay.
pretty deplorable stuff. If you're not sure if you want to connect with them, obviously you have to kind of decide for yourself if you kind of want to ask some of the deplorable things they do. And be like the season finale of season two was so far, from what we've seen, best episode. It hasn't worked. It wasn't them just going for the jokes and for the comedy. Yeah, you got to get through, you know, two seasons to get to the season finale of season two. But it was like, I'm going to watch it.
Because I like to draw parallels, it's like Andy Dufresne crawling through the 2 miles of. Yeah. Yeah, and then. Yeah. I can't. I mean, I cannot. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but maybe I did a little bit. I cannot wait for the Badgers to come back. But go on. Oh, yeah. I mean, I do. I don't care yet because I follow two teams. I'm a fan of two teams. And you can see their helmets probably over my shoulder a little bit. It's Wisconsin and USC. I do, actually. Feel. I have been a USC fan since I was 4 years old. So, and part of that was because Wisconsin wasn't very good when I was growing up. So, and I'm playing right now. So I do care and I want it back and I'll tune it in. I watch game day cause I love game day. You know, I like, yeah, I was in a guillotine league until this past week when I lost by 0.6 of a point. Yeah. I needed one more reception from Cole Beasley. One more reception from Cole Beasley and I would have survived. And he had a great second half, and then the last 2 minutes, they called the dogs off. Sean McDermott, it's almost as if he didn't care that I was in a guillotine league. It was all, which is, I mean, how did he not know? And obviously he knew. Obviously he knew, but he didn't care enough to keep me in my fantasy league. Oh, I didn't see that. I saw that they tested positive. Oh, okay. I hope it's true.
Horrible thing to say, but it's an advantage that has the NFL. Like, how do you complete the season?
Here's how I think that they are. This is the only way I think that they're going to complete the season is if you lop off the last at least 2 weeks and have those as potential makeup games. I don't see any other way that they're going to be able to finish the season, because you can't just not test. You know, you have to try to protect as many. Of course, of course. And to continue to have to, you know, at times bang these games and postpone them for later on in the season, maybe you have to lop off the last 4 weeks of the season. I don't know. Right. No. Yeah. And maybe they have to revisit what the schedules are going to look like and then make sure that you've got as much as possible those conference games, those division games, get those played because those are the most important games. And it's a delicate act, and everybody's had to adjust. The NBA, by the way, hats off to the NBA. The last time you and I spoke, the NBA season was still going on. They played, I think, 173 games over the course of almost 3 months. Zero positive tests that came back. That's almost unfathomable. Hats off to the NHL as well. They had two bubbles going on in Canada, and they had this, you know, similarly, they didn't have any positive tests. Well, but I would counter by saying that the NBA did it. And yeah, I mean, you could, and they're taught, you know, some of the things that I've heard is perhaps when the playoffs roll around, there's a bubble, and you can have a bubble in a city like Los Angeles because you've got SoFi Stadium. You can use the soccer stadium that the Chargers were in the last couple of years. You can use the LA Coliseum. You can use the Rose Bowl. So there's four stadiums right there that are instantly available for use, and then you can bubble the players. Right. Yeah. The XFL team was playing there, actually. And that's where the Rangers had their alternate training site. It was at that old stadium as well this year. Sure. TCU. I agree. I don't think they expanded it this year, so I think it's still 12. Well, and that's where the real money, I guess, is made, at least for the leagues. The players make their money in the regular season, but the leagues make their money really with the postseason. Tampa. Yeah. No. I come down on the side of safety and follow the science 100% of the time. That having been said, you can have, like, say, in a 100,000 seat stadium, like in Baton Rouge and Death Valley, for example, you can have 15,000 fans there. They're just really spread out. If you're quarantining with someone, if it's one household that's there, they can sit together. But if it's not, then, you know, everybody needs to wear their mask. Everyone needs to wash their hands when you're going to the concession. Maybe you can bring in your own food. Maybe that's a good way of doing it. Right. No cash, which I think most places are going to anyway right now as well. So there's a number of ways that you can bring in fans safely. I don't want super spreader events. I don't think that these will be super spreader events. Just as long as people are smart, and I think that goes for all of society right now, as long as people are smart and not going to bars and... Yeah, then you're... Well, and people... You know, this is maybe just the state of where we're at in 2020. People don't believe science. People think that this, that, or the other thing is a hoax for political purposes, even though this is a global pandemic. It's not something that's, it feels like it's isolated to the United States. It's not. It's everywhere in the world. And as long as people are smart, then you can at least mitigate some of the risks that are inherent with, look, I know people who don't know how they got COVID. I wear a mask wherever I go. I rarely leave my house and I still got it. I've been fortunate. You haven't gotten it, have you? Yeah. So we've both been fortunate, but I know people who have gotten it. Yeah. A buddy of mine got hospitalized. He was put in ICU for it as well. I mean, he was fortunate that I think he was in ICU for one night and in the hospital for two or three nights. But still. Oh, 100%. They call it intensive care for a reason. Right. I would support it. I doubt I would go, but look, I mean, when I go to the store, I'll wear a mask and without question, without complaint, whether it's, you know, going to the grocery store, going to the hardware store, or wherever, you know, you need to go. I wear a mask without complaint. That having been said, I hate wearing a mask, and I understand that people don't like wearing a mask. So for me to sit outside voluntarily for 3 to 4 hours wearing a mask, that doesn't appeal to me. But I understand that, you know, if that's the only way that people can watch football games, a lot of people are going to go ahead and do that. But it doesn't feel like something that I would be willing to do just because it's just not my jam. And I love football. I love going to football games, but I also like the football atmosphere when you're at the football game too. And I think that 10,000 fans for me would take it away from it. But again, everybody can make up their own decisions about that, make up their own minds about that. Right. Mm-hmm. No. It's like... Well, it's like going to a movie theater, too. I mean, I love going to movie theaters when, you know, before the pandemic, and I just don't want to sit there in a mask for 2 hours. God bless the people who want to do that. I wish... I think we talked about this, didn't we? I love going to a movie by myself. Yeah, yeah, it's great. It's great. So, okay, final thing for you that I've got is your guy, Tom. Is he still your guy, Tom Brady, even though he's in a different uniform? Okay, so Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers coming up, Packers, Buccaneers, which seems still a little weird to talk about when it comes to Tom Brady. Where's your head at right now? Yeah. One could argue. Okay. Okay. Well, it looks like the Packers and Seahawks are on a collision course. It's a quarter of the way through the season. It's way too early. Everybody's talking about MVP, MVP this, MVP that. But it's too early. It's destiny. Damn it. Well, that and 2014, the NFC Championship game, the Bostic bungle. A lot of Packers fans are like that. It's like, why do you got to keep bringing that up? Well, I don't bring it up. It's just because it happened. It's part of history. It's part of lore. All right, Thunder, great talking to you again, and have a great week. We'll talk. We'll do this in a couple of weeks. This is it's always fun just sitting down and chatting. Awesome stuff. Always fun to talk to Thunder, Mitch Nellis, here on the show. Talks that literally go anywhere, but they're still fun. I enjoy them. I hope you guys do as well. Again, you can find us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Doug Russell Pod. Find us on Facebook. Search for the Doug Russell Podcast. Email us at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Still want to know what you guys want from your television broadcasters, because it seems as though a lot of you are very unhappy with no matter who the Packers wind up drawing. Whether I think Chris Myers does a solid job. I really do. I mean, you can't survive in the business that he's been in for as long as he has by sucking. And I would say the same thing about the guys that are going to be calling the Packers game on Sunday, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. If they were terrible, they wouldn't be in the jobs that they're in. Also, Aaron Andrews on the sidelines on Sunday as well. But that's the email address. Would love to hear from you at any time. DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Thanks to the guys also, by the way, on the Cold Brew podcast, Matt Carroll and David Gasper. Those guys had me on this week talking about the state of the Brewers this offseason. That was a lot of fun, so be sure to check that out. Again, it's the Cold Brew podcast, talking some Brewers baseball. Very, very important offseason for the crew, and we'll continue to talk about them right here on the Doug Russell Podcast through the course of the off season as well. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a rating. 5 stars helps us grow this thing. So if you have any requests or suggestions, again, the email box is always open to you as well. DougRussellPod@gmail.com. That's it. This has been the Friday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.